Hello, and welcome to the Kaspersky Daily Podcast. My name's Brian Donahue. Today, we've invited Sergey Golovanov. He is the principal security engineer at Kaspersky Lab, and we're going to ask him some questions about the threats you face by banking online and what you can do to protect yourself there. First off, why can't the banks, with their vast resources and the passwords and the fields that make you make your password more complicated and the two-factor tokens and the multiple device verification, these banks have all of these security measures in place. Why is this still not enough to protect me and my money?
Okay, so let's start with this big technical system that is implemented in the banks inside of the banks' networks and so on. The whole, let's say, the name of all this industry and measures are anti-fraud systems. So this is a big servers with a lot of big systems that are trying to analyze all data from the customers, from the whole payments that are transferring through the systems and so on and so on. But the trick is that all those systems are developing for the protection of the massive attacks, from massive cases. So if there was some, you know, big story about the billions of dollars that were stolen, then all the system will protect the customers. But at the same time, we should realize that there are always the targeted attack threats, and by using special malicious software, the attackers can, you know, easily bypass this system. And so here's the one of the examples. So please imagine that that malicious user is controlling via the remote administration tools the computer of victims, and this malicious user is transferring money from the victim's account. The trick is that all these big anti-fraud systems do not, you know, see that all this data and money are transferring through the malicious actions. Because the environment and the computer is the same, the money accounts are the same, the money, you know, amount is the same. So they do not realize what is going on. In the same time, the malicious user can easily, you know, easily bypass all these big systems and easily transfer the money. So this is like common threat. And, you know, only the additional security tools, only additional software can protect via the protect from these, you know, targeted attacks.
So what you're saying, Sergey, is that these big, broad banking systems that look over the whole bank cannot tell between legitimate actions and fraudulent ones?
Exactly. So they, you know, they see the same network connection, they see the same computer, and they cannot, you know, understand if they, you know, at the same time, for example, you left your laptop opened and you just decided to go and make some tea. And if somebody will, you know, use your laptop for money transferring, the bank couldn't, you know, see who is behind the monitor. So that's it.
As far as I know, the highest end of the protection spectrum for consumer banking online is, some of them are devices, I believe, but mostly it's numbers. You get an MTAN, a mobile transaction authentication number. Some banks will give you a list of them and you just run down the list when you need to use them to make a transaction online. Others come the way a second factor of authentication would come, either via email or through standard messaging service, text messages on your phone. But I've heard that there are Trojans that are defeating this measure at this point. And I'm just wondering, how could a Trojan possibly beat what seems to be such a solid form of protection?
Okay, so to answer the question, you know, we need to look the history of these security measures. You know, maybe you remember that in the old time there were only passwords protection to access some services of the internet, and, you know, malicious software was easily, you know, hijacking the whole buttons on the keyboard, and that's how the password was stolen. In the same time, for example, we got the second factor authorization right now, and the malicious user are using, you know, the additional methods. And usually all these methods are connecting with the social engineering when malicious user are asking victims to, you know, to pass this one-time password to the criminals or to install some software, additional software on the smartphone that will, you know, transfer all these passwords to the criminals. And, you know, it's like the endless game, because if the bank or some payment system will decide to make a three, you know, authorization mechanism, then the software will use three methods to bypass all this. So this is like the endless game once again. And, you know, only when users are highly educated, when the banks are sharing all this knowledge about their malicious actions, only in this case the malicious users that are using the social engineering tricks can, you know, make some blocks, you know, see that something's going on and start using some additional methods.
So you say that criminals going after banks is an endless game, but what would you say is the most complicated cyber criminal attack against a bank that you've ever seen?
Well, you know, it's a tricky question. So maybe I tell you the three stories about the malicious software, and I can't, you know, rate it. So the first malicious software, which is, you know, really high-ended, is the Flame malware. And there was some, you know, plugins for the browsers that was intercepting the whole actions of victims during the online banking. But the trick was that the malicious user didn't use these stolen credentials. They was just monitoring their activity with the banks, of what is, you know, the where the money goes, where it come from, and so on and so on. So this was like a financial intelligence, something like that. The second story is about the bootkit. The name of this bootkit is Sinoval. This is like the first, you know, massive attack of the malicious software that started 7 years ago. So the malicious software was started before the operating system and can, you know, intercept the anything what is going on inside of this operating system. And the trick was that they was redirecting users to the some malicious host that was, you know, sniffing to save all data that came from the victims to the bank, and they can, you know, easily, you know, intercept it and use it for the collecting data and for robbery. The third story is about, you know, the common malware. The name of this malware is PyEye. And the trick was with the method of bypass the chiptune techniques. Do you know what is the chiptune?
No.
Well, the chiptune is the, you know, high-end protection mechanism that's really popular in the Germany, in the UK. So this is a special device that, you know, needed to make some transaction over the internet. So the user needs this special device, he needs his card, his PIN code, then this device is using, you know, special blinks from the monitor to get information about the target or when the user trying to, you know, make some transaction. So this is like the hardest mechanism for the malicious user. In the same time, the spyware was easily bypassed by creating this special message on the bank website that was, you know, notifying the user that some mistake was happening, and when some user, for example, from St. Petersburg, was, you know, making a mistake and transfer some, you know, £1,000 to the victim's account, and the malicious software is asking, you know, to get this money back, please. Well, and a lot of user, you know, they thought that this is a real message, and they was, you know, sending this money back. In the same time, they was, you know, sending not the real money, but the real money from his own account. and the malicious software was, you know, hijack, intercept all deception, and they you know, showed the user that nothing was happening, that their money, that our account was the same. At the same time, you know, money already was stolen. So this is the three main malicious software. This is, you know, what was interesting.
And for the last one there, just to be clear, there really is no technical measure that can counteract some clever social engineering.
Yeah, yeah. Only in this case, only education can help us.
There's also been, if not an uptick, then it's definitely very clear that there's been malware, like I think the Dexter malware that emerged earlier this year is an example of it, that doesn't really target the traditional computer in a sense, but goes after, well, ATM skimmers is one thing, but there's also malware that's known to be targeting point of sale terminals as well. And I was wondering if is there anything that the consumer can do to be aware of these threats, like to really spot them if you think it's going on? And is there anything you can do to protect yourself from it, or even detect it, if one of these terminals has been infected?
Well, we should understand that the Dexter malware is there. Only the one from the several kind of the same malware that is targeting the post terminals. At the same time, there are lots of special software, malicious software for the ATMs, for the cash machines. And, you know, this is a really tricky question, because right now there is no way to understand or to see how that this, you know, terminal or the ATM is infected. So the even specialist, you know, cannot, you know, sometimes get the information that the special software is installed, because usually users and, you know, operators of such systems are, you know, cannot believe this, because, you know, they're once again the targeted attacks, and there's no, you know, easy way to install this special software inside of these special devices. At the same time, yep, there are several incidents around the world when their special system was infected and the data from their cards inputted in the special device was stolen, and after several, you know, hours, this information was used to, you know, to transfer money. Well, there is a big problem, yes, and right now there is no, you know, common solution against this threat, because all, you know, papers, documents, and standards that are used inside of this industry cannot protect from this attack, because, you know, several years ago nobody, you know, thought about these threats. But right now there are special software, we analyze it, we see what is going on, but we, you know, cannot protect all the users by this knowledge, because only the big organization that are monitoring all the industry can make some documents, some papers that will push the protection mechanism against this threat. But right now, you know, once again, users cannot protect themselves from the threats.
So now it's prediction time. Can you think of any trends, any alarming trends that you believe may emerge in the coming years affecting online banking?
Well, the trend is about, of course, once again, trend about the special devices like POS terminals, ATMs, or the kiosk, you know, for the accessing the some payment system. It's a trend, and this is the high-end malware, and, you know, still nobody knows who is behind all these attacks, because they are really, you know, targeted and unique right now. But, you know, nothing can stop malicious user from doing that. That's why this is the trend. And once again, if we talk about the classic banking trojans for transferring the money through the online banking, then, well, I think the trend is that the big organization, criminal organization, will, you know, unite and create, you know, the big, you know, like the godfather of the whole cyber criminals that will, you know, making this money transferring to the, you know, money laundering and all this stuff. So they should be the big, like, king in the cyber criminal world that will process all this mechanism, because right now we see the a lot of users are trying to steal the money, but then, you know, like a one leader on the worldwide market, black market. So I think this is the trend, and I see that after the several years, 1, 2, 3 years, we will see this, you know, godfather, cyber godfather, that will, you know, and make a pain, you know, when it make me, you know, feel really pain when I think about it. But at the same time, this is a trend, and we should be, you know, ready for this future.
Well, this is, I mean, it's scary stuff, but I, for one, am not planning on cutting out my online banking activities anytime in the near future. So I really just hope that the regulatory bodies can find a way to better secure this stuff. But at any rate,
God bless you.
Thanks for coming and being on the Kaspersky Daily Podcast here today, Sergey.
Okay, thank you. Bye.